Today in Health IT, we're going to walk the Health IT news. We're just going to go through the headlines. I'm going to give you a little snippet on each one of the stories as we go through it. My name is Bill Russell. I'm a former CIO for a 16 hospital system and creator of This Week Health, a set of channels and events dedicated to transform healthcare one connection at a time. We want to thank our show sponsors who are investing in developing the next generation of health leaders, notable ServiceNow, Enterprise Health, Parlance, Certify Health, and Panda Health. Check them out at thisweekhealth.com/today. These news stories and all news stories we talk about, you can find on our website, thisweekhealth.com/news. Check it out today. One last thing, share this podcast with a friend or a colleague. Use it as a foundation for daily or weekly discussions on the topics that are relevant to you in the industry. A form of mentoring. They can subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, here we go. These are just a bunch of news stories. Some will be very related to health IT. Some will be slightly related, but it will be healthcare specific. So let's start with this. Epic EHR's market share gains continue, KLAS report shows. This is in healthcare IT news. The U.S. acute care EHR market share 2024 report from KLAS highlights a substantial growth of Epic Systems, which added 153 new clients over the past year, expanding its reach to more than half the inpatient multi-specialty beds in the U.S. Epic success contrasts with Oracle Health, formerly Cerner, and Meditech, both of which experienced client losses. Smaller EHR vendors like Altera Digital Health and TrueBridge made minor gains, while Azalea Health and MedHost saw no net new contracts. The year's market activity primarily involved large health systems making decisive purchases, influenced by acquisition activities and the need to improve IT and clinical operations. That's going to be one of the ways that Epic continues to grow, is through the acquisition of new entities. The reality is this, that I do posts on social media, and anytime I mention Epic, there is a host of people that come out and want to just absolutely eviscerate Epic, and there's a host of people that come out and absolutely want to defend Epic as the best thing in healthcare. And the reality is they're both right, meaning that Epic is a software package that has to be implemented correctly. And so systems that have implemented it well and trained their staff well and done the refuel and the follow-up and stayed fairly close to foundation and have followed the guidelines and whatnot, that they tend to do well, especially the training side of it. They tend to do well. But there are other implementations that I'm sure if you took a doctor from an Epic system that was implemented well and put him in a Epic system that was not implemented well, they would tell you this is a horrible EHR, and it would be the same underlying software. The implementation matters. Make sure you do your implementation. That's the moral of that story. Chief Yes Officer, the erosion of physician leadership. And this article is by J. Michael Connors, MD, discusses the shift in medical leadership from physician-led roles like the chief of staff to corporate-appointed positions such as chief medical officer. Historically, chief of staffs were elected. Chief medical officers are appointed. And he makes the case has led to reduced physician autonomy and increased feelings of burnout as physicians navigate a corporate-driven healthcare environment. Just an interesting story. It'll probably be on our site. Tomorrow will be one of the stories that I approve. I don't know, worth taking a look at. AWS disappointed it's no longer a VMware cloud on AWS reseller. Future of products in doubt. Amazon Web Services, AWS, and its channel partners will no longer be reselling VMware cloud on AWS due to Broadcom's decision to require customers to buy directly from VMware's Broadcom. VMware Broadcom CEO Hock Tan confirmed the shift, noting that the current customers will continue being billed by AWS until their subscription term ends. This move has sparked concern among AWS and VMware partners who believe that Broadcom is phasing out the product, complicating its future viability. In response, AWS is encouraging customers to migrate their VMware workloads to Amazon EC2, emphasizing the scalability. This is big corporate battle going on here. If Broadcom didn't buy it to phase these things out, however, AWS is upset that they're not going to get that revenue anymore. So they're creating fear, uncertainty, and doubt, hoping that clients will move over to Amazon EC2. I don't know. Yeah, to be honest with you, the truth lies somewhere in those boardrooms. And if you are a client that is utilizing those platforms. Quite frankly, you could still use the VMware platform on AWS. There's a lot of options for you there from an architecture standpoint. CDC releases burnout prevention guidelines for healthcare workers. This continues to be a hot topic. CDC has issued new federal guidelines to combat burnout and mental health issues among healthcare workers as part of their Impact Wellbeing campaign. These guidelines prompt hospitals to assess their operations and create a 12-month plan to enhance staff well-being. This remains a top-of-mind item for healthcare leaders and should continue. Not only clinical workers, but also your administrative staff and your IT staff. Burnout is a very real thing. One of the things that I'm really encouraged by is the amount of CIOs I'm talking about who are extending the use of these burnout initiatives, these burnout reduction initiatives to the nursing staff. And I think that's a very encouraging step. Keep an eye on this and don't forget your own staff. That's very important to recognize, even though people are working remotely and they're not in your office and you don't see them, that they have very real life issues that they are dealing with from time to time. And it's important to have managers that are attuned to those things through whatever the conversations happen to be. Hospitals see no respite from cost pressures. I probably don't need to read this story. You're probably living it. Hospitals and health systems are, by the way, this is the American Hospital Association. They're making the case essentially that CMS reimbursements need to go up, that hospitals are on razor thin margins, and that is not getting any better. And this is going to lead to a significant challenge for rural healthcare. So that's the talk track. And you can read that story. It's in Becker's. It's also on our site. You can read the summary. Let's see. Cedars-Sinai CIO tips to ensure Gen AI is fair, appropriate, valid, effective, and safe. Healthcare IT News. Craig Kwiatkowski, who has been on the show several times, Senior Vice President CIO Cedars, is leading the health system's careful and responsible integration of generative AI technology. Under his leadership, initiatives like the Cedars-Sinai Connect virtual primary care app have already increased primary care capacity significantly. Kwiatkowski emphasizes the importance of evaluating whether to build or buy AI solutions based on specific needs, integrating these tools seamlessly into existing workflow to prevent clinician disruption, and adhering to principles of fairness, validity, effectiveness, and safety. His strategy also includes cautious incremental adoption of generative AI to ensure confidence and safety, thereby fostering a supportive community. By the way, I love what he's saying there. I think there is a slow adoption, which will lead to a rapid adoption. But if you do the slow adoption wrong up front, you will have a credibility and trust issue that you have to overcome. And that's just going to slow you down in the long run. Take your time up front. Make sure you're selecting the right projects and doing the right level of validation on the various things that you're doing. Choose projects. My advice, choose projects that you know are going to be wins, not just the projects that happen to be out there. And remember that there's different types. There's going to be a whole bunch of AI that's going to be integrated into the solutions that you already own, and they're going to be rolling that out. Also, make sure that those are win projects at this point. You do not want to have to overcome a trust gap later in your implementation. Let's see. Let's skip that one. A duplicate. Who would have thought? Effective data quality governance challenge. 5 common myths. European Pharmaceutical Review. Sarah Richardson brought this one in. Effective data governance is essential for seamless connection and data sharing across regulatory, safety, clinical research, and manufacturing processes in the pharmaceutical industry. Key strategies for implementing data quality governance include starting with manageable steps, challenging myths and its complexity and cost, and focus on culture and organization rather than just technology. Critical elements include establishing clear data quality roles, embedding the data quality mindset, and maintaining transparency and continuous improvement. A phased approach, starting with setting up a framework, followed by operational adjustments, and eventually cultural integration, ensures systemic and sustainable improvements in data quality. I will tell you that the data quality program that I stood up at St. Joe's was one of the hardest things we had to do. And it was because it flew in the face of the existing culture almost completely. The existing culture was a wild west of data. We had good quality data at the core, but you had all the various departments hiring their own data analysts who were pulling it out and using it in weird ways. And so we had to implement a whole cultural mind shift, a whole change in our education policy around data and data governance, and a different approach from an IT standpoint. We didn't go down a control path. We didn't want to control everything. We thought that education and stewardship and mentoring were all very solid ways to go. Plus, we created a very solid data dictionary and controls and data governance tools that allowed us to ensure that the metadata was solid and it was informative on the definition of the data that you were actually using. And we created some standards and some guidelines and some job descriptions. Quite frankly, the word analyst is used way too much in healthcare and it means almost nothing. And so we decided to work with HR to create some roles. But I will say, again, this is a journey, not a sprint. And it's a project that probably requires vigilance in order to be seen through to completion. Anyway, that's a walk through the headlines and a chance for me to just give you a little snippet on each one as we went through. And that's all for today. Don't forget, share this podcast with a friend or colleague. Use it as a foundation for mentoring. We want to thank our channel sponsors who are investing in our mission to develop the next generation of health leaders. Notable, ServiceNow, Enterprise Health, Parlance, Certify Health, and Panda Health. Check them out at thisweekhealth.com/today. Thanks for listening. That's all for now.